Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing this rainy day?
I know.
Earring trouble? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm taking my earrings off. I forgot. Yeah, and tornado warnings.
Oh, they're still around. I know last night they were around.
Until 1 o'clock today. And you know what? It looks like Kansas. It kind of freaks me out a little bit because I know what a tornado looks like. I know what the weather kind of gets.
And it looks
spooky.
Like that?
Yeah, dark.
Thanks. Good thing we're safe in here.
Exactly. I think we're definitely safe in here. No windows. Definitely safe. This is like a bomb shelter, Lee.
I know. That's why I like it.
Sometimes I wonder, you know, people outside, if we scream real loud, can they hear us?
Yes, they can. Okay. We've tried that experiment.
All right. So we need to behave then. I'm excited about our show this morning, Lee. We did the little 5-point series. We featured a lot of different neighborhoods, but Dunwoody. In our backyard.
I like this idea of featuring neighborhoods just every few weeks, month or so.
I do too, because each neighborhood and each community kind of has their own feel.
Right.
And Dunwoody certainly does. New City, look at our archives. I guess it was a year ago, April, we did a City of Dunwoody show and had the mayor on and some councilmen and the city manager. And it was exciting then. And gosh, Dunwoody's about a year and a half old. So we've got some business owners with us today to talk about why they would have a business in Dunwoody. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We have Ricardo Gonzalo. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So Ricardo is our newest business owner on the show today with Village Burger. Those listeners that haven't been, you're in for a treat. It is so yummy. But tell us, how did you come up with the idea?
Well, the idea goes back probably a year and a half or so. I've lived in Dunwoody for about 15 years. And my business partner and I, Matt Gebhardt, we have young children. We've always thought that Dunwoody could use another place for families to go to eat. And we talked about it for a long time. And we finally one day said, you know, maybe it should be us that comes up with this idea. And so we put our heads together, and the first thing we did was we went and talked to some people in the restaurant business and asked them, what do you think about this idea of bringing another family friendly offering to Dunwoody? And the person said, you're crazy.
Oh no.
Why would you want to go in the restaurant business? It's too difficult.
Yeah.
And we said, well, let me just give you some thoughts about what we're thinking. If we went with something that's really family focused, moderately priced, and really good, would people come? And so he said, well, let's talk to some people around Dunwoody. And so we have young children and talked to friends and family and others and said, what do you think about this idea? And universally, they all said, we think it's a good idea. We think that Dunwoody could use another restaurant. And we said, well, the concept would be simple. It would be really focused on fresh, good hamburgers, good fresh French fries, and then fresh frozen custard. And keep it very simple. And they said, yeah, I think that's a terrific idea. And so from there, the plan moved along, and we talked to different people to ask if they would want to participate and invest in our restaurant. And
how'd that go?
You know,
that's where the rubber hits the road.
That is where the rubber hits the road. That was challenging in some respects, but what we really found refreshing was the people bought into the idea and said, you know what, you're right, Dunwoody could use another restaurant. And so we probably had about a 50% hit rate of people we talked to that were interested in participating.
And you just went to friends, or where'd you start with that?
Yeah, we started with friends and some family, neighbors, and showed them our business plan. And over the course of several months, got people to commit to it.
And did you have that location in mind, or did that just kind of happen?
You know, we had a couple other locations in mind, bigger locations than the old Brewster's location where we are today. And for several reasons, one, because others were too large or we didn't like the location for parking or other things that we thought would hinder our business, we ended up going into the Brewster's location. Actually, our idea almost died a couple different times, and then when the Brewster's went out of business, we saw the for lease sign and said, well, maybe we should give that a shot.
It's a great location.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it went out of business. That thing has been around forever.
Well, I think it's just so seasonal, though, you know, and in the winter, it's hard. I mean, you still have to pay that rent year-round.
Right.
And I was really surprised at how big it was inside, because when you're used to the Brewster's, you just see the ice cream in the front, but it's pretty big.
Yeah, we've heard that over and over again, that people who come in say, I can't believe you can actually get seating inside. And we like to say that we've used every square inch of that place.
Oh, I bet.
And outside as well.
And outside is so nice. I'm looking forward to sitting out there when it's cool. I bet you'll have some kind of heater or something going on.
Yeah, that plan's in progress now. We have some drop-down curtains coming in the next Ooh. Couple of weeks and some heaters. So hopefully we can keep customers coming back year-round.
Was it difficult to get zoning and working with the city to get it the way you wanted?
You know, we've heard going into this that might be challenging, and frankly, it was a breeze. The city was very cooperative, and we kind of like to say that, you know, we played by the rules, and we sought out advice from the city, and they couldn't have been more helpful.
Great. That's a good lesson.
So tell us a little bit about the menu. You mentioned it's hamburgers, but it's more than that.
It is. It's obviously Village Burgers, so that's our feature. But we also thought that in order to get people coming back more than once, we need to have a few other offerings. The reality is we think in Dunwoody, a lot of the moms make the decisions on the food, where the kids are going to go to eat. And so we wanted to have a few more offerings besides just hamburgers. So we have a grilled chicken sandwich. We have a salad that people put grilled chicken on. And then we also offer a couple of grilled hot dog options. I'm from Chicago and kind of miss not having a Chicago dog here. And so we put a Chicago dog on the menu as well.
So I've had the chopped salad. It's good. I think I've had
you
everything.
You went to the burger place to have a salad.
I did. I had a chopped salad. Well, you know, the moms make the decision on where you eat, but when there are kids in the back seat, go, no, we want Village Burger. And I wasn't in the mood for a burger, but we went, and it was very good. The chopped salad was awesome.
Well, I've had the burger, and it's very good.
What makes it so much different? Because it is different.
Well, you know, we when we started this concept, we went and looked at a lot of different hamburger places. I probably ate 100 different hamburgers over the course of several months, which wasn't so good for me, I guess. But
it's fantastic for you, you mean?
Yes. But,
Lipitor.
But that many. But you're right. It is good for you. It makes you feel good. In any event, we tried to borrow a few different ideas from different restaurants. And so we created on our own, though, a special spice mix that goes on the hamburgers and one that goes on the French fries. And then one that goes on the chicken sandwich as well. And
so is that top secret? You can't tell us the secret ingredient?
It has 42 different spices, so we probably don't have time.
42?
Wow. Yeah.
That's commitment.
So how's the community responded? The first couple times I went, the line was so long that I fortunately had my iPad and could play Yahtzee with my kids.
Do you have Wi-Fi?
Yeah. Oh, do you have Wi-Fi?
You know, we don't. We actually have talked a lot about offering Wi-Fi, but one of our issues being so small is that we need to actually to turn tables.
Right.
And so we want to service the customer. We didn't want people necessarily sitting in prime
long,
speed.
Right.
Yeah. That makes sense. Definitely. Yeah. And the community, how have they responded? I mean, I've seen the line.
It's really been terrific, much more than we even expected. And, you know, we know that we're a small place, and candidly, we are. Projections were pretty modest on what we think we thought we could do for business, and it's far exceeded that. Our real challenge now is how do we get people through the line, essentially, that during the peak times. But the response has been really overwhelming.
Now, you and your partner, did you have restaurant experience at all?
We had some. Both of us had worked in a software company that did back office software for restaurants,
right.
So we understood the operations of restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
He takes a lot of credit for having worked at a California pizza kitchen. I think he was there about 2 weeks,
in high
maybe.
School.
Yeah, in high school. But so it's fairly limited.
Right.
But we didn't. But that's why we went to friends that are in the industry and really had them consult with us on the process.
So now they're helping you with the line?
They are. Absolutely. In fact, this week we have a couple of them coming in to really look at our operations to see how we can streamline and make it more efficient.
So I noticed that the little basket thing that my burger came in was different, too. Are you guys going green? And what? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, we are. I mean, we try to as much as we can. We realize that given our small space, we really wouldn't have room for a lot of dishes or even a dishwasher. And so we thought if we're going to have a lot of disposable plates and cups, we wanted to do it as green as we possibly could. So our cups, for example, are compostable and so are our trays. We fill up a lot of trash, and as long as it's compostable, we feel pretty good about that.
I would imagine, definitely. I know Ted's Montana Grill does that and a couple others. People are trying to go green. It's great to see you making that effort. So social media is a big part of a lot of businesses, but people don't tend to think of it necessarily in restaurants. Are you guys using social media at all?
We sure are. We find that it's very effective, and of course it's very cost effective for us. So we have Facebook, Facebook page that I think we're up over 500 or so. I think they call them friends, which has been really effective in getting messages out. We find it's the benefit of it is to send out targeted promotions, for example. So for a particular day, if we want to do a promotion on our frozen custard, that's a good way and a really a free way to get that message out. And so it's been really effective, and we've gotten really strong feedback from our friends and on the Facebook
Have you
page.
Experimented with it in like when things are slow? I've talked to a lot of restaurants in here that if it's raining or it's bad weather, they'll send out a blast and say, look, half off, or you know, some really compelling offer just to kind of jack up the sales for that window of time.
Absolutely. That's really the main benefit of it. For example, we started a Monday afternoon between 2 and 5, buy one, get one free on frozen custard for that very reason.
Mm-hmm.
For the restaurant business, as you probably all know, the key is to fill up those times of the day when people aren't normally there for lunch or dinner. And so Facebook or Twitter are really effective ways to try and do that.
That's a good idea. I would never think just to come for custard. And you have that side window, right?
We do. We do. You know, just to touch on that a little bit, we realized we were going into an old ice cream place and that there's still demand. There's still a lot of families and kids in Dunwoody that don't have their kind of favorite ice cream place that they used to go to Brewster's. And so we thought if we could offer ice cream, or in our case frozen custard, bring a unique ice cream treat from the north down here that we could also drive some business that way.
Is that a unique recipe that you guys created, or is it someone else's custard?
I'd like to take credit for it, but it's not. It comes from a dairy in St. Louis that gets shipped in for us.
Cool.
And it's good. It's very smooth.
I've had that too.
Yeah, have you?
I've tried the whole menu. If you're going to the place, you got to go to the place. You don't dabble.
No.
You got to go all in.
Especially you. You don't dabble. But I'm not a big custard fan, but I did like it. It's very smooth. And, of course, my kids loved it. Any advice for folks that are listening and thinking, gosh, I'd love to be a business owner? I mean, anything you've learned that you can share?
We've learned a lot, that's for sure. I wish I knew then what I know now in terms of how to get the restaurant started. I think for us the key was to really go to people and rely on people who know the specific business that you're going into. If you don't, it's risky to begin with. You know, people say that over and over that restaurants are risky. They are. But if you get good advice from people that you trust, that gets you off on the right foot. I think from there it's also make sure you have enough money. Because things always cost more than you think, and so make sure you have enough money up front that you don't have to be really worried once you get open that you can actually pay your people and pay your rent and buy your costs, your food, et cetera.
Right. I think you guys are doing a great job with plugging into the community. When I was there was a bunch of kids running around. It must have been a team or something. So I think that'll pay off in the long run.
Yes, agree.
Sports teams, absolutely.
Absolutely. We're seeing a lot of that. For example, on Friday night, there were probably 60 sixth graders from Peachtree Middle School that came after their dance. And we're going to be very active in promotions with the local sports teams and churches and other charities.
Yeah, that's the way to go. And especially you layer that with social media, and that's all you need, I think.
We hope so, certainly.
Terrific. And your website's cool, too.
You know, we're proud of it. We can't take credit for that other than choosing the right company, Cap Concepts, to do that for us. And they've really been terrific from the standpoint of they don't just put up a website for you. They actually look at your business to help you build your business. And Jay Cap and his team have really been good in helping us with that.
We've had a lot of satisfied Jay Cap customers on here.
He's probably one of our best source for guests.
Yeah, everything from taxi cab companies to restaurants.
Right.
He does it all. It's amazing. And they always, you can kind of tell a JCAP website.
Right.
They do look pretty cool. Great. Well, thanks for being our guest this morning.
My pleasure.
Give the details again, the address for those that are listening that aren't from the Dunwoody area that want to make a trip to Village Burger, and the website.
Absolutely. It's 1426 Dunwoody Village Parkway, the old Brewster's in Dunwoody. And our website is villageburger.com.
Terrific. And you can become their friend on Facebook, and then you can find out every time I eat there because I have to post on Facebook.
It.
You know
we'll
how I am with my food. That's right. Thanks for being our guest this morning.
Thanks for having me.
So if you're finished eating and then you want to go have some fun with friends, you can actually walk to this next location. Our next guest is from Sips and Strokes. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Stacy.
Thanks.
So Sips and Strokes, for those that are not familiar with the concept, you have to walk us through it because it is very unique.
Okay, Sips and Strokes is an adult art studio, and basically what we do is we teach non-artists how to paint a painting in a 2 or 3 hour time span. Bring your favorite beverage, maybe a snack or so, and we teach you to paint the painting of the evening, and you take it home. Great night out for date night, girls' night out, come alone, it doesn't matter.
Now, is it like paint by numbers, or is it like a blank paper in your painting?
In most cases, it's a blank canvas. We do have a few pre-sketched canvas for the paintings that are a little more difficult.
Uh-huh.
But actually, we have an instructor that stands on stage and takes you step by step through the colors and the brushes that you use to.
So anyone can do this.
Absolutely.
Even if you have no artistic ability whatsoever.
Oh, Lee, I draw stick people poorly.
Right, exactly.
And I've painted and I've been proud of my painting.
Proud of it.
Yes, like they're framed. I did the rooster session, and I love my rooster so much that I think I spent more on the frame than I did on the painting class.
Probably so.
Which is easy to do. So where do the subject matters and the paintings come from? Because on your schedule and on all the locations, it kind of rotates. Talk a little bit about that, the concept and where it came from.
We started out in Birmingham. My sister, Wendy Lavoie, is actually the creator of this concept. Roughly started 7 years ago, officially Sips and Strokes, but she really goes back about 10 years ago. She started out teaching children how to paint. The parents wanted to learn how to paint without commitment to a regular art class, art schedule, because time is limited. And so more or less parents wanted to know if they could bring a bottle of wine and learn how to paint, and it started in the back of one of her children's studios in the evening, and then we developed into a full-fledged studio. Most of the art, well, a lot of the art in our database is Wendy's original. There are several paintings that are inspired by other artists, as well as our artists create images for our database as well.
So it's not like you'll be painting a Picasso style?
Well, we actually have Picassos in our database. Uh-huh. We have Monet, we have Van Gogh, but we actually teach more contemporary art, lots of color, things that are interesting and less intimidating to the average non-artist.
Now, is it something that you can go to the website and go, oh, look, they're doing this kind of art tonight, let's sign up for it? Or is it you just show up and it's whatever you get is what you get?
No, actually, you reserve in advance, especially in Dunwoody. Our Dunwoody studio is awesome. It sells out pretty quickly, so you want to make a reservation in advance. You make your reservations online on our website. Basically, you go to our calendar, choose the image that you want to paint, register. You can register up to 20 seats online.
Mm-hmm.
That studio actually holds 55 people. So once you find the painting that you like, either you come alone or come with your friends, and we'll do the rest.
And then everybody paints that same painting.
The same painting.
Right. And it's amazing, even with the same painting, how much they differ. Like the same instruction.
Yeah.
I've been with my whole family. I've been with my daughter. I've been with friends. I took clients there. Now, that was interesting.
You're like a regular?
I just had so much fun every time. I'm like, okay, who can I bring back? But that was really interesting because taking clients, you know, that was kind of risky because they both said, well, I don't paint. Mm-hmm. And, you know, get a little wine in them and get the paintbrush and the paint going. We had so much fun. That was by far the best bonding experience I've had with a client.
We
can
tons.
Golf and go to dinner and all that, but we could talk for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. It was great.
So is your easels all set up in a cluster of your friends? Is that how it is?
Yes. As long as if you reserve seats of 5 or more, actually in Dunwoody, we do 4 or more. We know that when you register, if you register all together, that you're coming. And a lot of times if I have people coming with their corporate team,
right,
they'll let us know in advance, but we reserve seats for you together. So you're actually there socializing and painting, and it's interesting to see the different personality types, the more structured type A personalities versus the more relaxed, laid back.
So how does the wine come into play? Do you bring your own wine in, or you sell wine there?
We don't sell any. We only teach painting. So anything that you want to snack on, which I guess we'll have to send some people over to Village Burger
Burgers,
now.
That's right.
And a lot of people to Fresh Market and to
right.
Mellow Mushroom. But you bring whatever you want to eat and drink, and we teach you the art.
So you kind of snack in between and sip, and they're like, if you're layering paint, there's time where it has to dry.
To dry, right.
So then you have time to sip and chat and
make fun of the other people.
Well, I actually said
teasing, good natured teasing.
No, but this would be a good guys' night out, especially if you're single guys.
Oh my goodness! Totally untapped resource.
I sent my husband and one of his friends because
by himself.
No, with a buddy, two buddies actually, because the subject matter was a guitar. And actually, my husband is a very good artist, so he saw my paintings come home, and he's like, "You got to be kidding! You did this? You know?" He's like, "You weren't even gone that long," and so he went for the guitar because the subject matter was cool, and he took two of his buddies that he plays guitar with. Oh my gosh, tell me they were not the most popular. And then one of his buddies went over to Fresh Market and bought chocolates for the ladies.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow.
He was working it.
Oh, yeah. And because it is, it's a big group full. And there's some couples.
Yeah, a lot of people, the date night thing is catching on. A lot of people are just, oh, wow, I can bring my husband. You know, guys come like, you know, oh my gosh, I gotta go. But actually, they enjoy it. It's a great date night thing. A bunco group, obviously, church groups, small groups. Or you can come alone.
So what? Take us through like start to finish of a class. Like you get in there, and it starts like at a certain time. Like it's a
our goal.
Like you shoot for like 8 o'clock or something.
Classes are either 7 to 9, 8 to 10 on Wednesdays, or 7 to 10, and you check in. As soon as you check in.
So now these people, most of them don't know each other.
No.
It's a bunch of strangers.
Yeah, it's
in a
bunch.
Room.
Yes, exactly. Right. So you walk in the door, and there's easels and canvas everywhere, and people are like, oh my gosh, I can't draw a stick figure.
Right.
I'm like, well, that's good, because we're not drawing stick figures tonight. We're painting. No one ever laughs at that joke. You're like the
funny.
Second
I
person
like
who's, I think it's cute. But anyway, so we say check in. We tell them where to grab their paint, grab an apron, excuse me, and then have a seat. And, typically, we try to start at least no later than 15 after. You know, with traffic in Dunwoody, it's really tough.
But do you make an effort to, like, have them introduce each other, or it's everybody's just doing their own thing at this point?
Well, basically, we get on stage, and we introduce ourselves,
right.
And we kind of talk about what we're doing for the evening, break it down, and kind of lay out what's going on in the studio. And we tell people on a break, you know, walk away from your canvas, walk around and look at other people's paintings. So we encourage people to look at other people's paintings and get ideas. I call it stealing ideas from other people.
Right.
They're creative.
Yeah, it's fun. You got to go. You and Abby and Max. I mean, the three of you. In our guest bedroom, we did a landscape, and the walls are like fire engine red, and the landscape had some red in it, but all four of us did the same painting. And it's so cool to look at them because they're so different.
And you put them all on the wall.
Yeah, and they're all in the guest bedroom.
Oh, that's
on the wall.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. It looks so cool. I love it. They're all in the same frame. So our listeners, can you tell I like going?
I think so.
My daughter's actually having her
fan.
Yeah, she's having her birthday party there next week. What else does a 15-year-old do? They go and sip lemonade and stroke.
Yeah, the sips part, when it initially started, that was one of the things that was so unique, obviously, because, you could bring a bottle of wine, and so many people like wine. But it doesn't have to be wine. It could be sweet tea. It could be Coke. It could be anything.
Jack Daniels.
It could. Well, technically, not really Jack Daniels, but, you know.
Whatever works for
you,
Lee.
Whatever makes you creative.
Look, it said sip.
Coming from a non-drinker.
Following instructions.
Oh, that might inspire you, right? You never know. So give us the details on the website, because that's where folks can find the calendar. And then I also want to talk about your other location.
Okay. The website is www.sipsinstrokes.com. Everything is plural, and it's a letter.
It's the letter N.
Letter N, SIPSINSTROKES.com. And basically, when you go to the website, there is a little calendar section, and you click on that drop box. We have 15 locations, so you would choose the Dunwoody location if that's the studio you want to attend.
And you have another one opening?
Well, our Druid Hill store opened last Friday.
Okay. Wow, congratulations.
And we have a store in East Cobb as well.
Wow. Taking over the city.
We love it. But I'll tell you, my Dunwoody studio, gosh, I wish the chamber's right next to me. I need another 1,000 square feet. That studio opened too small.
Really?
We
you
love
think it.
It
is?
Oh, yeah. We have people asking all the time to get in the studio. So if you like to paint and you want to check us out, register early.
Yeah, definitely register early, because especially the good subject matter ones, they fill up. And again,
they're
that's personal opinion on my part, but they do fill up really fast. Mm-hmm. And tell us about when the calendar comes out, because I actually sit and wait for the calendar
to come
out.
Yeah, we have stalkers.
When is your calendar?
I'm a stalker. The calendar comes out on the 15th of every month.
And then that's for the next 30
correct.
Days?
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, got to lock in.
Yeah, so November 15th, the December calendar will be on, and we'll be adding a funky menorah. We've had tons of people ask about, you know, you're doing so many Christmas paintings. We're Jewish. We need some great paintings. So we have a really cool funky menorah coming out. And
any more chickens?
We have the Funky Rooster's cousin.
Oh, there you go. Breaking news, Amy. Better get in there early.
I'm not so proud of my paintings, I got to admit. I'm not so proud. The ones of the landscapes, those were cool because it was a family thing. But my laundry room is the home of all,
that's where they
all
go.
Of my paintings. Because I'm not quite confident enough yet to put them in other areas of the house.
So. Where other people might see them.
Right. Amy, you said something about a landscape. We have a landscape that we offer. It's called a paper towel tree. And we teach the entire painting with paper towels. If you've never been, and this would be a great class for you to attend. It's
very
really cool.
Sounds great.
Wonderful. Folks, you have to check it out. I'll be there again next week.
I'm
a regular. Stacy, thanks so much for being with us today. And you walked through the experience, but folks really need to come in and check it out. Grab a friend. My mom's going to be in town for Thanksgiving.
Of course she is, for
Thanksgiving, yeah.
Their turkey painting.
So we've already made our reservations, and I can't wait to go again. So thank you so much for being with us today. And when you're finished at Sips and Strokes, the night will still be young because you usually get out about 9. So you need to go on over to the Dunwoody Tavern. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Our next guest, Monet from the Dunwoody Restaurant Group. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
She has an appropriate name, too, for the show, right?
I know. That was good.
Monet.
You planned it that like that?
So, Monet, the Dunwoody Restaurant Group's been around a lot longer.
Can you
longer.
Paint?
I can't.
Oh, not yet. If you went to Sips and Strokes. The Dunwoody Restaurant Group's been around for, what, 15 years?
15 years, yes. It started with the Dunwoody Tavern. Prior to that, we had several restaurants, the Dunwoody Chop House and Fandango's, but the real Dunwoody Restaurant Group started 15 years ago.
Wow, that's a long time, and it's always packed. I mean, I've never been by there after 9 o'clock where there aren't tons of cars. I mean, are they regulars, or how do y'all get your word out?
Well, you know, people know the Dunwoody Tavern because it's been around for so long. It's a great hot spot for anybody that went to Dunwoody High School. We have a lot of Dunwoody High School reunions. It's a great place for people coming in after work for a few beers. Of course, we have the regular crowd, too, which is great. And then we have several other restaurants in the area as well. We have the Bat and Ball Pub on Ashford Dunwoody and Johnson Ferry, the Royal Oak, which is next to the movie theater on Mount Vernon, and the Ship and Anchor on Roswell Road in Hammond. The Iron Horse Tavern in Norcross is ours as well, and the Robin Hood Tavern in Cumming. So we focus right now on the Dunwoody Tavern, but we do have several other pubs in the area too. Hugh is kind of an expert by now, I guess, 15 years.
What makes a good pub?
I believe it's just the feel of the pub, the English feel. A lot of people say that they don't get that very often. You can't really find a good pub. The food, of course, is really important as well. And we've had a huge focus on our menu and the food, especially over the past year. It's definitely improved, and we've had a lot of comments about that too. And getting a good beer and not being pretentious, I think. Those are the things that people look for when they just want to come in and relax and enjoy a beer and some food and good friends.
Is the staffing important in that business?
It absolutely is. You definitely want to have the right staff in order to service the guests the right way. It's a casual atmosphere, but with a huge focus on perfect service. You know, you always want to be perfect in your service, and you want people to come back in. And really, our new motto is, we know who you are and we know what you want. And that's what we want to see from our staff, is that they know people walking in the door and they know their names, and they're already putting the order in before they sit down. So if you can get the staff to do that, that's probably one of the most important things that's going to keep people coming back. Mm-hmm. Your bartenders and your servers are really key.
And what are some of the biggest changes that the Dunwoody Restaurant Group has made maybe in the last 5 years?
Well, definitely the biggest change ever, probably in the past 15 years, was going non-smoking at the Dunwoody Tavern as of October 1st this year.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
You know I'm happy about that.
Yeah. We're all really excited about it. It was a really tough decision, I know, for Hugh to make. Hugh Thomas is our owner.
Does he smoke?
He doesn't, but I know that he used to, and I hope he doesn't get mad at me for saying that. But he knows how important it is to really try and accommodate everybody. But there was so much public pressure for a really long time. We would go onto our Yelp page and look at the reviews, and pretty much, I want to say probably 80% of the reviews about the Dunwoody Tavern online were, it's a great place to go, but I won't go back because I don't want to take my clothes dry cleaning.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I would personally, and everybody else that worked there, would watch people walk in and take a look around and take a deep breath and then turn around and walk right back out. And so we felt like it was time for us to make that change. And because we did that, we've also tried to accommodate the smoking crowd as well, because we don't want to lose them. So we have we've added some lounge furniture outside, two sets of lounge furniture, and put two televisions up outside as well on the front patio. We've actually built a patio out back for our smokers and our regular crowd that, that like to hang out there. So that's kind of the secret. It's not anymore.
By the dumpster.
Are there other smoking only, you know, places that have smoking in Dunwoody?
There are. Actually, the Royal Oak Pub is one of ours as well. You can still smoke there after 4. You can smoke at the Ship and Anchor after 4. Mm-hmm. And I know that you can smoke probably at Firebirds after 10 o'clock, I think. But you can still smoke on our outside patio, which is great. And we have some plans for some heaters for the winter,
right.
and drop down curtains as well. So it should be a great place for both smokers and non-smokers alike. The feedback has been wonderful.
Any big events coming up?
Yes, we do have an event actually at the tavern coming up on November 20th. It's called Rockin' for a Cure, and it benefits the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's team in training.
Oh, wow.
So we're very excited about that. We have two bands. They're both local bands. Shark Fighter will start at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, and then Sun Domingo, who also played at the Dunwoody Beer Festival, which we hold every year in the Perimeter Mall parking lot. It's been for the past few years. So Shark Fighter and Sun Domingo will be there, and we have quite a few auction items as well. We have some auction items that were donated from the new nail salon that opened up right next door to us. We have a few facials from Savvy Skincare in Buckhead. We have a GPS that has been donated as well, and our distributors have been great about donating some really awesome items. So all the proceeds from that will benefit the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society as well. And we have some t-shirts for sale, so that will benefit too.
Cool.
And it seems like the Dunwoody Restaurant Group does do a lot in the community. I mean, that beer festival for Camp Twin Lakes, they raise a ton of money. And it seems like Q is always doing things to give back to the community.
And that's been a long time, right, that festival?
Yes, and we just completed our 10th year.
Yeah.
Any new pubs opening anytime soon?
Well, we're always looking for different opportunities. You know, Hugh works with a broker that always lets him know when the first opportunity arises for him, and he is
For space. That's the
yeah.
So he's always on the lookout for locations.
Always on the lookout and constantly looking at different places, but he really has a keen sense of evaluating the right opportunity at the right time. And we have several partners as well that, you know, he discusses any new openings with before he kind of makes that leap, I think. Mm-hmm. But we're definitely looking for the right place and the right time. As soon as he gets going and he wants to open one, it usually happens pretty quickly.
Now, have any of them turned into a franchise, or they're all kind of individual?
They're all individual. We have various partners. We actually have a pub in California as well. We have a financial partner out there. It's in Salinas. And they're not franchised. They're all just owned by Hugh and our partners here.
Wow.
And there's a lot of similarities. I honestly, the bat and ball I didn't realize was Hugh's. But now that I think about it after going in, the food is always good in all of them. And they do kind of have a similar feel that you wouldn't get at Taco Mac or, you know, one of the other types of just sports bar places.
Right.
Right. It's really about comfort and about being being comfortable and not pretentious or smug, like I said.
It's good.
It's a smug-free zone.
It's a smug and a smoke-free zone.
A smug-free, smoke-free zone. Give us a website so folks can look at the numerous locations that y'all have, and then also give us the Dunwoody location for the listeners that are going to go to Village Burger, followed by Sips and Strokes, and then go to the Dunwoody
Tavern. Cap it off with the tavern trip.
Okay, we have a website that has actually probably one of our focuses coming up is now focusing on the website. It's being revamped right now. Sam Harry from Atlanta Sky is doing a great job. So if you go log on today, it's probably won't look very up to date, but it's coming in about 2 weeks. It's DunwoodyRestaurantGroup.com. And all of our pubs have different Facebook pages. So if the Bat and Ball is your favorite, search for the Bat and Ball. If the Dunwoody Tavern is your favorite, search for Dunwoody Tavern. And we make frequent updates, and we're also on Twitter at Dunwoody, R-E-S-T-G-R-P.
Now, have you had good luck with that, using social media? Has that helped your business?
Definitely. It really has. Just for example, this weekend, on Sunday, I was working in the morning at the Dunwoody Tavern, and I'm a huge Steelers fan, and we have a lot of Steelers fans actually that come in there. So I posted on the page, you know, something special for everyone who wears black and gold. And there was two couples that there were two couples that showed up that said, "Oh, we saw it on Facebook,"
you know.
So it's really a great way to attract business, and Twitter is as well.
Yeah, no doubt. We're finding more and more businesses that are on the show are using social media. I can think of very few that aren't, really.
Remember when we started talking about Twitter? How long ago? Remember?
People
thought we were crazy.
I do remember that. And then there's always a new one. Every time somebody throws me a new curveball.
Foursquare
really had me. But yeah, it is amazing just how everybody uses it.
Yeah.
Gotta use it. Thanks for being our guest this morning, Monet, and for giving us all the information on the Dunwoody Tavern, especially the smoke-free part. I'm excited about that.
Thanks for having me.
And I'll be in to visit y'all soon.
Good.
Our last guest, certainly not, we're not leaving her at the end for a reason. We leave the best for last. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We have Debbie Fuse from the Dunwoody Chamber of Commerce.
Good morning, Amy.
Debbie, you've got a lot on your plate and a lot going on in a city that's really growing. But we've got three business owners here, and obviously businesses are the backbone of the community, and people love to do business in Dunwoody. Tell us about the Chamber of Commerce.
The Dunwoody Chamber is about 2 years old. It actually was started about 2 or 3 months before the city was developed and in place. So we've been around a little over 2 years. We have grown our membership up to about 325 members right now, so and constantly growing. We have a goal of 377 by the end of the year, which is going to be pretty awesome. It's a kind of a motto that we're doing of 377 by 2011, which the purpose of that is to really develop and really partner a lot of the business entities together and help them in any way that we can.
A lot of folks might not be familiar with why a chamber. What is a chamber? There are a lot of them.
Yes.
What does a chamber do?
Well, a chamber's kind of a big part of our role is to represent and then educate and then promote business. And in the representation part of it, it's to really kind of help be a unified voice with for all the businesses. If you have issues or anything with a city entity, it's to try to help them. And if we put all the voices together instead of one individual business trying to go about handling an issue, if you come to the chamber, we're here to help do that. And we can put, you know, we hear this over and over again. So it helps us be able to say to the city if there's an issue about signage or an issue about, you know, some particular ordinance that everybody runs into, we can go to them and say, you know, this is kind of a universal issue. It's not just a one-up issue.
Exactly. And you kind of do a little matchmaking, too, at the chamber between businesses. I've noticed, you know, going to chamber events, you in particular are good about making the introductions. Hey, Amy, you might like to meet, you know, Jay Cap, the web designer.
Right.
And it's great, just the feeling and the vibe from the events. Talk a little bit about the events. Have you done any recently?
Well, the big thing that we just got done with is the Dunwoody Music Festival. And that was just a two-day event that we had over the weekend. And needless to say, we're still trying to play catch up from that, but it was a really good event, and so far most of the feedback has been very positive. We've had over 50 music groups playing over three stages with two vignettes during the entire time, so from the time you walked into Brook Run Park to the time that you left, you heard music somewhere.
It was awesome. The weather was perfect. The music was incredible. I mean, everything about it. I'm sure the reviews have been wonderful.
Yeah.
And what was the chamber's part in that?
We actually did the entire festival. That was our function. We as a chamber have chosen to make the music festival our big function of the year that we do. And that's the one that helps promote us. And it also helps sustain the chamber. We also are doing a give back to a couple of the schools, the Peachtree Middle School, the Dunwoody High School. Their arts, cultural arts group will get a percentage of profit as well. We're also doing a donation to the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
That's terrific.
Do you help with a member if they're kind of having a difficult time navigating the government?
Yes.
You know, helping with the zoning or the red tape or even getting the licensing and everything?
We do a lot of that. Bill Grant is our chairman of the board, and a lot of the issues that come up, I talk to him about and direct that person that's having that issue directly over to him. He ends up walking them through a lot of the processes because he is a businessman and has been here for many years in Dunwoody, knows a lot of that already, and can also help walk people through some of the things that they may want to do. It's more advantageous for you to try to come to the chamber and talk to the chamber as a new business before you get knee-deep into the issues. If you've got some things that are coming up and you know that you may not know how to navigate your way through getting a business license or getting your sign ordinances correct and whatever, because the city's been involved over the last year working with sign ordinances, and they're revamping them. So it doesn't hurt to be able to come to the city and talk, you know, come to the chamber first and kind of get an idea of maybe some of the things that they may want to know, because we do have all those ordinances with us as well.
Are there any events coming up that if someone is not a member, they could tap into to see if they would enjoy it?
Absolutely. Every month we do functions and activities, and we have a Smart Start that we do the second Wednesday of every month. We have a first Monday night networking that is a Monday night networking purely for people to really just get together and talk. And that's probably our biggest event that people come to all the time. We're averaging out of our group probably somewhere in the 80s at every one of those. So that's a good networking opportunity for people. If you haven't been, you definitely should try to come. The Smart Start function that we do on Wednesday mornings is a breakfast for those people that can't make the nighttime functions. We've tried to maintain a breakfast function. We also try to maintain that as a marketing function where there is an educational piece to it as well as a networking piece. So that's a good opportunity for people as well. We've had some good speakers that have participated with that function over the last couple months, I should say.
Are your members, can you talk about what kind of businesses are the members? Are they like kind of solopreneurs? Are they, large businesses? What's the kind of range?
Well, when this chamber was started, their concept was to go with a grassroots effort and to try to start with small to mid-sized businesses. And everybody's definition of small to mid-size is difficult. But I would say that probably about 60% of our membership right now is a small five-person and under business. Part of my goal this year has been to try to develop some of the larger businesses as well, to try to start bringing in some mid-size and large businesses. Because as any chamber will tell you, when you sit and look at the realm of businesses that you need to have a good makeup of all. And
right.
The larger businesses help maintain you on a financial basis,
sure.
I mean, quite honestly. And you really need to have those as well, because 80% right now of our operating budget is by membership. And
wow.
We have no other way of financial support, because we don't get government money, we don't get tax dollars,
right.
We don't get any of those things. It's a membership and sponsorship based organization.
So how do you get these new businesses involved? Like, what are you doing? Any outreach like to these larger companies?
We actually have a couple of people that are doing sales, and they actually do go out and call on the businesses, but we also encourage our members to bring members to functions and activities,
right.
To try to help grow that base as well. Because if you're enjoying it, and Amy, you've been a member for quite some time, and most of you guys are members, that it does make a difference. And if you encourage members to come, and if you can tell them why you're a member,
sure.
That's what's important.
And also kind of learning from each other, too. That's what I find,
yeah.
Is just learning from the other business owners, not just the networking, but, have you experienced this? I mean, in the insurance business, there are a lot of insurance people in our chamber, and I learn from them.
Yep.
It's a really nice experience. And unlike the Metro Chamber, which we've had them on, Glenn and those folks, and it's great to belong to a Metro Chamber, but to keep it more local, I want to do business in Dunwoody because I live close by. So it makes sense, especially for business owners, to support the chamber.
And what's your pitch to the larger companies? Like, what's the advantage for them to kind of get involved in a local level?
Well, a lot of times they can tend to lose sight of the importance of their
like their footprint,
their
in
presence,
the area. Right.
Just being present within an area. And it's easy to lose sight of that when your corporate headquarters is somewhere else.
Right.
And a lot of times those decisions are made from a corporate headquarters where they don't understand that the local presence really needs to be there to really grow their business.
Right.
And that's probably one of the most difficult things that we as a chamber face. It's easy for Metro Atlanta because what happens is businesses view themselves oftentimes, especially if they're coming from a corporation, well, it's Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
But they forget that Atlanta piece is this piece of Atlanta.
Right.
And so what happens is we have to try to encourage them to become more locally involved to really help them maintain and grow their business, but also helping to support their local chamber helps strengthen the whole business entity.
Right. And their impact is great to a chamber.
Oh,
and for them, it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And really, if they have a couple of people that can be dedicated to be a part right. of the chamber, that's
that
critical.
That can make a huge difference to your chamber.
Oh, a right. huge difference
right.
to us.
No doubt. Debbie, we're running out of time, but I yep. want to make sure you give the website to folks
sure.
And they can look at the events and come to one of those Monday night events and meet some of the folks.
Absolutely.
There's also a younger group that meets. I'm not a part of that,
right.
but tell us a little bit
yeah,
about
me either.
That.
It's called YPODS. They are the Young Professionals of Dunwoody, and really their goal is to try to be involved from a younger group level, but to also, and the idea behind that group was for them to be mentors to college and high school students,
mm-hmm.
but then also to be have the ability to be mentored by our older clientele within the chamber. So it's kind of a twofold group. I always tell them they're kind of the pivot between the two age groups, and it's always fun. But our website is www.dunwoodycommerce.org. And we are located on the Chamblee Dunwoody Road, 5518 Chamblee Dunwoody Road, in the old railroad house, which is right across from the village.
Exactly, right across from Starbucks. So when you're on your way from the Village Burger to Sips and Strokes,
just park your car once and walk.
That's right.
All of us.
That's right. Why don't we think of doing that? Why don't we walk more? I know that's a
you
big
should,
thing for you.
I know. Why not? You tell me.
We need to walk more. We need to walk to all these spots and visit them and tell them how wonderful it is to have
and
their business
in Dunwoody.
And
when you walk, you see them all.
That's right. And especially Debbie, because she's on that main street.
Yeah.
You got to stop by the house and wake her up, because I'm sure that's all you do in there, Debbie.
Oh, yeah, just snooze. That's right. all I ever
exactly.
get to do.
Debbie's one of the busiest people I know, and how she keeps it all straight, I have no idea. Thanks for being our guest this morning.
Thank you.
And for those listeners, come visit us in Dunwoody. Come do business in Dunwoody if you're looking to open a new business.
It's a great place.
It is a fabulous place. Until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Have a wonderful week.